Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, enjoyers. Wherever you find yourselves today, my prayer is that you would find yourselves living and dwelling in the good favor of God. From the US to Cambodia, from Osaka to Adelaide to Tasmania, to all over Victoria, I speak blessing and I speak favor to you all that comes in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we prepare ourselves and our hearts for this year's vision offering, I want you to know right from the very start that we're releasing you into all the freedom that comes from God. There's been so much talk recently about freedom this, freedom that, freedom everywhere. There's lots of discussion about freedom and we all understand why. But we all know that freedom, real and lasting freedom, can only ever truly be found in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know, because you deserve to know, that Georgie and I are so proud of you. I promise you, as in the discussions that we've had and the joy that fills our heart, as so many of you have continued to honor the Lord through your tithes, your offerings and your vision pledges throughout this season. In our 23 years here at Enjoy Church, the truth is the last 18 months has undoubtedly been the most challenging. But even as gold and silver are refined by fire, we've also seen the very best of faith, love, sacrifice and service in and around the life of our church during this season. And for that, I got to tell you, we are so thankful. We feel absolutely privileged to be in the positions that we find ourselves in. So as you pray and seek the Lord as to what your part in this year's vision offering should be encouraged to do it from a place and a position of freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse 7 says, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." This year, as it is every year, George and I will seek the Lord again and sit down and talk about what's in our hearts to contribute to this year's vision offering. Effectively, for the past 10 years, I've had three different income streams. Now, I have one. That's right. Two of the three income streams have completely dried up for myself over the last 18 months. But you know, as I seek the Lord this year, I don't want to come before Him with what I can do and what I can't do. I want to come before God with a heart of faith and exercise my faith in the knowledge that as I do this, God is able to make all grace abound to me so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. I really don't want my faith pledge to be based on what's happening in my income streams. I want to seek the Lord and be obedient to what He's saying in the knowledge that this is actually what will release God's grace upon my life, that I might be able to do all that He is asking me to do, that I might accomplish every good work God has planned for me. You know, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, reading from verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live." It's such a powerful statement, but what does it mean? Obviously, we haven't been crucified physically and neither had Paul. But Paul's statement, nevertheless, it is emphatic. "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live." Could it be that what Paul is saying, that now he's alive in Christ, he's actually dead to himself, meaning a transition has occurred, an exchange has occurred. As he steps from death to life, from the natural to the spiritual, from the temporal to eternal, something deep within him has also occurred. In actual fact, he finds himself now in a state of transition. All of Paul's thinking, his philosophies, his learnings, his attitudes and alike are now nailed to the cross because he's now alive in Christ. Now the life he lives by faith, he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. I think the greatest challenge the children of Israel had when they left Egypt to enter the promised land was actually leaving themselves behind. And you say what? That's right, leaving themselves behind. The carnal life is void of faith, whereas the righteous shall live by faith. The reason a generation of Israelites had to die in the wilderness after leaving Egypt wasn't because they didn't believe in God, but because they didn't believe that he was able to do what he said he would do. So the children of Israel were out of Egypt, but as crazy as it may sound, Egypt wasn't out of them. And so it was that their faith was eroded and eventually destroyed. In Numbers chapter 14 from verse 1, it says, "Then all the people began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of complaint against Moses and Aaron. 'We wish we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness,' they wailed. 'Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and little ones will be carried off as slaves. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here and return to Egypt.' Then they plotted amongst themselves, 'Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" Unfortunately, the Israelites, they complained and they grumbled against their leaders when they should have been seeing the goodness and the deliverance and the provision and favor of God. They were faithless, and as a result, they died in the wilderness short of what had been promised. But we are not of those who will die short of the promises of God. I do not believe that for a minute. In Hebrews chapter 3, reading from verse 18, it says, "And to whom was God speaking when he vowed that they would never enter his place of rest? He was speaking to those who disobeyed him. So we see that they were not allowed to enter his rest because of their unbelief. God's promise of entering his place of rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to get there. For this good news that God had prepared a place of rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't believe what God told them." Now, one might argue that the place of rest that Paul is writing about, if it is in fact Paul writing to the Hebrews, is heaven. But I think just as much we could also argue that the promises of God and the fulfillment of God's word could also be a place of rest for us. Therefore, we must leave our old selves behind. The world with all of its thinking, its attitudes, mindsets, and philosophies, we've got to leave it all behind in Egypt, as it were, if we are to step into all that God has promised us. After all, the righteous, yes, we shall live by faith. This is why Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Ruling and reigning with Christ for all of us will require us to think, to live, and to act as a holy nation, a royal people, a people who really do belong to God. People who belong to God are not unaware of the challenges that surround us. As in, we see throughout all of Scripture, the people of God were well and truly aware of the challenges. We are aware of the challenges. But you know what? The people that have gone before us, and we also, we believe that if God is for us, then who can stand against us? We see it in the champions of faith that we celebrate so well, and we celebrate them, and you know what? We are like, we want to be like them. Well, you know what? In this season, we actually have an opportunity to be like them. We can't live by sight according to what we see, but we need to live according to the word of God. If God has said it, then even the impossible becomes absolutely possible. So in times of drought, when many are thinking, what must we do to survive? People of faith are still believing for a multiplied harvest. It goes against logic, I know, but how many of you know we don't need logic to live by faith? What we need to live by when it comes to faith is the word of God. When we have the word of God, faith arises. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and then we step out and we take dominion, as it were, over the impossible. We're still planting. You know it as well as I do. Enjoyers, I got to tell you, I celebrate you everywhere. Why? Because we are still planting into nations like Cambodia. This week, I've been speaking to Pastor Bundan and Beck, and to hear what's happening in Cambodia, I got to tell you, I am so excited, and I cannot wait to be there. We're reaching into Seattle. I got to tell you, I'm so excited about that. We're stepping into Huon Valley and believing for a harvest to come in. We're starting a local church Bible college to raise up more leaders for all that Christ is calling us towards. Why? Because we believe it's harvest time. We believe that there's a harvest that needs to come in, not in 4 months' time, not in 4 years' time. No, the harvest is ripe and it's ready to come in now. Church, We are not survivors in Christ. That is not what we are. We are never called to be survivors. But in Christ and through Christ, we are more than conquerors. Praise God. Give God praise if you believe that. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who gives us strength. Therefore, as Christ set his joy to go to Jerusalem and to the cross, because he believed that God was able to do what he said he would do, which is, of course, raising from the dead. So we too are setting our jaws now to go to this year's vision offering, again, believing that God will grace us to do what he's going to put in our hearts to do. Once again, I want to encourage you, like myself, I'm not looking at my income streams. I don't have streams now. I have a stream. But you know what? The grace of God on one stream is going to be all sufficient for God to do in me and through me what he desires to do. In Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 10, it says, "And God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them." We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Praise God. So as you and your family seek the Lord, as to your part in this year's vision offering, can I encourage you, come in a spirit of freedom. Come in a spirit of freedom. Just step into the place of God in complete freedom, in the knowledge that God's favor is already towards you. His hand is already towards you. Just step into that place and seek his face from a place of freedom. Absolutely. But also I want you to come, I want to encourage enjoyers everywhere to come from a place and a space and a position of faith in the knowledge that God's grace towards you is greater than any income streams and that God will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Praise God, enjoyers. I don't know about you. I am ready. I am ready on so many levels to step out of this year and into all that God is calling us to. You know, many of us experience challenging times. Many of us have experienced hard times. The lockdown realities across the world and throughout Victoria have been hard on us all. But you know what I believe? I believe if God is for us, then who can be against us? I believe the end is way better than the beginning. I believe what God has promised is our future. What God has said will come to pass. And as we get ready for this year's vision offering, I just want you to step in there with a heart of faith, believing that if God will speak to you, then you're going to have all that you need. The grace of God will cause you to have all that you need for every good work that God is calling you to do. So enjoy us everywhere. God bless you today. I want to pray for you now. I want to pray for you as you would seek the Lord, that God would speak to you. Then I want to pray specifically for people that may be watching in today that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The reason we have a vision offering every year is because we have a vision to continue to reach more and more people for Christ with the good news of the gospel. Maybe you're watching in today and you're hearing what I'm talking about and there's a stirring in your spirit. That is God beginning to want to connect with you. But before I pray for you, and I'm going to do that in just a minute, I want to pray for enjoyers everywhere. So enjoyers, why don't you just prepare yourself, however it is, wherever you find yourself today, as you watch in, if you're sitting on a couch, if you're sitting in your lounge room, family room, wherever it is, just prepare your heart so God would begin to speak to you concerning this year's vision offering. Father, I pray for enjoyers everywhere. Lord, we come into your presence today with great peace in our hearts. Lord, we come in with a sense of freedom, Lord God. Lord, that you will speak to us all individually. Lord, it is true, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ready. And Lord, we are praying that we might be able to send more and more workers out into the harvest. Lord, we thank you, Lord, already for this vision offering that it's going to allow us to go out into the harvest, Lord God, that a harvest might come in. But Lord, I pray, Lord God, for my brothers and sisters everywhere, those enjoyers that are planted in the house, that have got a heart to see your kingdom continue to grow and expand. I pray, Almighty God, as we bring our hearts before you, we would request, Lord God, that you would speak to us. I pray, Almighty God, that we wouldn't be looking at our income streams and work out what is possible, what's not possible, because, Lord, for you, all things are possible. So, Lord, I just pray that we would strip our mind, Lord God, of where our natural thinking would take us. And I pray we would step in, Lord God, and I ask you, Lord God, that you would speak to us, Lord God. Speak to us individually because, Lord, we believe, Lord God, you want to release the miraculous, Lord God, into us and on us and through us, Lord God, that we might do everything that you've putting in our heart to do. So while, Lord God, you might be dropping in, Lord God, numbers, Lord God, that seem impossible, by your grace, all things are possible. So, Lord, I just pray. I pray, Lord God, speak to our brothers and sisters all over the world, wherever they find themselves, that we might step into this space of the vision offering by faith, Lord God. We might exercise our faith. Lord, I ask and I pray for it, Lord, with a spirit of freedom across it all, in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen. God bless you, enjoyers. Next week is Commitment Sunday. We're going to be bringing our commitments in electronically. It's going to be same as we did last year. To everyone that participated in last year's offering, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you. For everyone that's getting ready and excited about this year's vision offering, obviously, Cambodia is now up and going, but we are believing for Seattle. We're believing for Huon Valley. We're believing for our children's spaces. We're believing for the Bible College. We're believing for so many things. As you get ready to contribute towards that, I just want to say God bless you, and I believe that God will speak to you.